Psalm 90. Hear the word of the Lord. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You've set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is the word of God. Grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away, but this is the word of the Lord. God's word stands forever. Join me as we ask God's blessing on the ministry of his word to his people today. Let us pray. O Lord, we bow before you, the great and mighty God of time and eternity, the one in whom we live and move and have our being, the one who has revealed himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We bow before you because you're glorious and mighty and high and lifted up. You're worthy of our honor and obedience and worship and praise, because you're the God of glory. Oh Lord, we thank you for what we are about to do now. This exercise called the preaching of the Word of God, that the world scoffs at and mocks and ridicules. And yet the God of all grace and wisdom has ordained to use this as the means by which your church is brought forth from death to life, your people are raised from the dead, and the means by which your flock is fed and built up and strengthened and led again to the well of salvation and to Christ. Come today, Lord, and visit us here. Help me, your servant, to rightly divide your word, and to give us, Lord, attentive, humble, obedient hearts, that we would take your word, apply it to our lives, consider it for ourselves, and believe it, and not only be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. We bow before you with thanksgiving. And Lord, I do pray you'd help me, your servant, to rightly divide your word, to proclaim it faithfully with love for you and your people. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be focusing our attention today on verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain or get a heart of wisdom. What we have before us today is a prayer. This is a model prayer that God has given to us as a gift. This is a gift for you and for your children. The whole psalm is, and each verse, each stanza, each line, and this particular verse, verse 12, is a gift from God for you. The Word of God says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed to us belong to us and to our children forever. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. That is, the things we don't know. Why was I born in this place, to this family, in this way, with this color hair, this color eyes, with in this particular country or that particular country? The secret things that only God knows. Lord, what is your plan for the rest of my future? We know what God has revealed in his word, but the secret things that he has planned, we don't know. Those things belong to the Lord our God, and we leave them in his hands, but the things revealed belong to us. This is a gift from God for you. This particular prayer comes from Moses. Moses, the man of God, is given here in the title. It's a title that's given to Moses elsewhere in the scriptures, in Deuteronomy chapter 33, in Joshua, in Ezra. It's a title of particularly appropriate for him because he was God's faithful servant, a type of Christ the Redeemer, a man who was approved by God. It comes from a very sober time in Israel's history. Moses was a sinner as well who looked by faith to the God of grace, to the God of Abraham. It's a sober time in Israel's history as they've been wandering in the desert, it seems. Perhaps at this point, we don't know exactly at what point Moses read this, but it seems from the context that he's looking back over the fallenness of life, the affliction that they've endured in the wandering of the desert. It comes from a time of reflection and yet a time of great hope as they trust in the Lord. I'd like to pick this prayer apart with you today. You can follow along on the back of your bulletin and take notes if you'd like from the outline. So what are we exactly to pray in this model prayer? What are we to pray? God's word says, teach us. Teach us, Lord. That indicates a number of things. That teaches us that we need to be taught, right? It indicates that this is not our normal way of thinking. We have to learn this. It's like Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in all circumstances. I've learned this. It's something I had to be taught. It doesn't come to us naturally to be content. And so it doesn't come to us naturally to number our days. This is not our normal way of thinking. Our normal way of thinking is to think for ourselves that life's just going to keep going merrily along forever and ever. Other people die, but we're not going to die, at least not anytime soon. This is not our normal way of living. This isn't our normal way of thinking. Everyone else might be mortal, but we're not. It's something that we need to grow to learn. Teach us. It also indicates a position of humility, that we lack something that we need from God. It's a recognition that we don't have everything we need to live wisely in life. It recognizes, as you pray this, a modesty about your own life, your own achievements, that even the most learned and brightest of people can live foolishly if they don't learn this. There's always something that we can learn. It indicates a humility before God. You need something you don't have. And it indicates a mature, teachable heart. Right? Who is the mature one? The mature one is the one who constantly recognizes, I am a needy man. I am a needy woman. I am in need of the Lord every moment of every day. I must grow. I must continue to grow. I must continue to keep seeking the face of the living God. The wells of salvation found in the Lord, the deep well of God's truth in Scripture, is something I can never plumb the depths of. I must continually keep learning from the living God. I must grow. I must press on to know the Lord. As Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He's one who saw the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus. And yet he prays, I want to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. It indicates, this prayer indicates, I need to grow. I need to be more mature in my understanding of life and my life before God and the brevity of my life on this earth. When I think of someone who always was pressing on to know more about God, I have this vivid picture of my grandmother's sister, my great aunt Lois, who was a missionary in China in the 30s. Was taken prisoner by the Japanese, was in a Japanese prison camp and suffered greatly, went back to China, was taken prisoner by the Communist Army, was in a camp under the Communists, went back to Hong Kong. In my early years as a child, we were always praying for my Aunt Lois, my grandmother's sister, who at that time was teaching in a rooftop school in Hong Kong. I got to spend time with her during my seminary years in California when she was in retirement. And I remember driving up from San Diego to the Los Angeles area where she lived in a little garden apartment. I remember walking in, knocking on her door, walking in, and there she sits with this huge Bible encyclopedia on her lap. Just a month before she died. I said, "Hi, Aunt Lois." Give her a big hug. "What are you doing?" "I'm studying." "I'm growing." I mean, she was one that we saw as this spiritual matriarch, you know, of our family. She never married, but always lived serving the Lord. And she said, "Never stop learning, Ricky." Only my Aunt Lois could call me that. And my sister, maybe. The mature one is the one who recognizes, I still need to grow, that you come hungry for the feeding of the Word of God on the Lord's Day. Lord, there's so much I still don't know about life, about you, about my walk before you, about my Savior. Oh, Lord, give me a teachable heart. Teach me, Lord. It indicates this isn't our normal way of living. It indicates a heart of humility. It indicates a mature heart, but also indicates that only God is the one who can do this for you. It's a cry out to God. Teach me, Lord. Moses doesn't send us to some instruction manual, some school. Oh, Moses sends us to the Lord. Can't it come from any other source? He knows us. He knows his pupils. He is the one who possesses the truth. He is the one who has the power to teach. He is the one who is infinite in his being and attributes. He is the one who has all knowledge. He's infinite in all of his attributes. It's to God that Moses sends us under the inspiration of the Spirit. Teach us. And then lastly, it indicates that it requires something on our part. It requires something. If we're asking God to teach us, we must be in a position and a desire to learn. Learning takes work. You got to get out of bed, right? You got to open up your Bible. You got to come to a Bible study. You got to come to worship God. You got to press on to know the Lord. Pressing on takes effort. Because by nature, we're lethargic. By nature, we just want to chill. By nature, we want to be couch potatoes. By nature, we want to just sit and veg. Teach us, Lord. Help me. Motivate me. Requires effort on our part. So, what are we to pray? Secondly, we're to pray, teach us, Lord, to number our days. Some versions say to number our days aright. What does that mean? Well, this is not a mathematical numbering of days. Let's see, I've lived 14,632 and a half days, and if I reasonably calculate the days that I've left, I've got a 37.4% chance of living until... It's not a mathematical numbering of our days. No, this is the most difficult kind of numbering of all. You know, some people can tell you the exact square footage of their house. Some people can tell you the measure of each side of their lot line. Some folks watch the stock market religiously, and every half point gain, they know exactly where it went and where it's, or think about where it's going. Some people can number the number of delegates that each candidate needs, and they know exactly what each state will represent on this next Tuesday. Some young people can give you the batting averages of lots of ball players. No, this is a very different kind of numbering. Moses is talking about a careful examination of the number of our days, which causes us to come to a certain conclusion. And that is, first of all, we don't know what that exact number is. We don't know. And secondly, whatever number of days we do have, they're brief. They're brief. They're finite. They have an ending. And they won't just keep going on and on. The number of our days is finite. It's brief. The rest of Scripture teaches that. Psalm 39 says, "The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." James 4, verse 14 says, "What is your life? You're a mist, a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Teach us to number our days aright. You might interpret this by saying, "Lord, teach me to remember that I'm going to die, that I might live wisely." This whole psalm, from beginning to end, is about the brevity and frailty and weakness of life in this fallen world, which leads us to the glorious nature of God who lives forever. One generation after another finds the Lord, finds Yahweh, the living God, finds him as the generation before has found him, that he's unchanged and worthy of our confidence, that he is the one who is our refuge forever and ever. We don't put our hope in ourselves or in this fallen world because we have a limited time span on this earth. How, then, does God teach us to number our days? How does he do that? Well, two ways. One is by the ordinary events of providence every day. That is, by the stuff that happens to you. The Lord teaches you to number your days. By a near accident, that'll teach you to number your days. That'll teach you that life is frail. That'll teach you that you could die at any moment. By going to a funeral, that'll teach you to number our days. We heard a funeral in Haiti this week. We heard a funeral that lasted all day. Through the trees, through the woods in the village, there was a church where someone had died. A woman who had been in church the Sunday before passed away, and on Friday we heard the all-day funeral. As people were singing all day long, crying, calling out on the Lord. Going to a funeral reminds you as you look at the casket there. That'll be me. That'll be me. Visiting a cemetery is a good reminder to number your days as you walk through the gravestones and you see the birthday and the date of death. It reminds you, wow, there's one that only lived 14 years. There's one that lived 50, 54. That's my age. That could be me. Looking over the past, looking through a yearbook from school, finding old letters and reading them, bumping into an old friend. That'll teach you to number your days, especially if they don't look so good, right? Wow, am I that old too? Reading obituaries in the newspaper. That'll teach you to number your days. God teaches us to number our days through the ordinary events of each day, through providence, and he teaches us to number our days through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. God himself presses this reality upon our hearts. It won't be long and I will die. My life here is brief. God takes his word and presses it upon our hearts, and our mortality is brought right in front of our face. Well, secondly today, why does God desire us to pray this? Why does he desire us to pray this? It's so we can get something. This is a gift from God. We need to gain something. There's something positive we will end up with from learning this. There's something that God will give to those who seek him, who seek this, who pray for this. This is a gift to be had that you and I need. You think about this for a moment. What we want to gain is not that God would reveal the end to us. This isn't what the psalmist is asking. This is what Moses is asking for. Not that we want to know how and when and where and why it'll all happen the day that we die. We're not asking for that. We're not asking to know the circumstances about our death. But he can give us something that will help us live as though we could see it. That we would live our present life as if we saw its end now, as if we truly could number, okay, I see the end date on the calendar. I've got 4,332 more days, however many more days it may be. He can give us something that will help us live as though we saw the end. What will we gain? What will we get? It's stated here at the last part of the verse, a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom. You see, with this above conclusion in mind, Lord, teach me to number my days. The lesson learned is we have no idea what the exact number of days is. And whatever number of days we do have, they are brief. And so we will live differently. We will live in a way that's wise. We will not be fools in this present age. Something would change, something that would be spiritually profitable. So how do we live wisely, knowing that our days are brief? How do we live wisely, knowing that the end could come at every moment? Well, we live every day as if it were our last. Right? Every day. This could be my last day. And so you keep short accounts with other people. You don't let things just linger on when there's things unsaid between you and someone else. You don't harbor grudges over weeks. You don't let things just linger. No, you keep short accounts with God and with others. Something should change to live wisely, that you will make a sober preparation for your own death. That everything is lined up. That when you're gone, there's not this trouble for everybody else around you. That you make sober preparation. You prepare today, that you take precautions. You don't live foolishly, taking risks. And we live differently. We look back and we see how rapidly the days have gone, how easily time can be wasted, that some days you're just like a boat adrift in the sea without purpose. Well, you live wisely. You look at the present and you realize how quickly life can end. So you look to the future and you realize it will certainly come to an end. And so, Lord, help me to make the most of every day. Lord, make me useful to you today. May I live for your honor. May I live for your glory. May I live as a light and life for my great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the theme of the book of James. You know, to live wisely. I mentioned earlier from James chapter 4. Where James, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, what is your life? You're but a mist. Your life is brief. James is all about living wisely in this brief life. So endure trials with joy, James chapter 1. Endure temptations and don't sin. Real wisdom is swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. and work to tame your tongue. Be wise with wisdom from above. Be humbly submitted to the Lord. Don't judge your brother. Glorify God by not boasting about tomorrow. Don't oppress the poor. Be patient, waiting on the Lord, living righteously in the midst of trials, turning back again and again to God, caring for others. That's the wise life. You want to know how to live wisely in this present age? Read the book of James and you see the one who lives realizing his life is but a vapor. You see, what we gain is a heart of wisdom. We don't live as foolishly thinking our life's going to go on and on. Well, the main prayer here is that God would enable us to come to a certain conclusion about life, that he would cause us to live wisely. Only the Spirit of God can give that. That we would have a right view of our life. That we would view this present life as if we saw its end. You see, thinking about the fleeting character of life here will change us. As God applies that to our hearts, it will make us wise. It's the foolish one who neglects these things. So what is the wisest thing of all as we close? Well, the wisest thing of all is to be ready to meet God. Not just to realize my days are brief. Oh, well, I'll throw caution to the wind. No, the wisest thing of all is to be ready to meet the Lord, to turn to the one who made you, to sorrow over lost time, to sorrow over things that profited nothing, to sorrow over the days you lived foolishly, and to seek reconciliation with God before it's too late. To make the most of the remaining days that you have, however many they may be, that you would seek to know the one who is wisdom. Christ Jesus, the wisdom of God. To follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father, that we would seek to apply Christ, the wisdom of God, to our heart in everything. You see, the most foolish one of all is the one who has knowledge up here in our head, but doesn't act upon it from our hearts. True wisdom, true God-honoring living, requires the heart to cry out to God. So I ask you today, as a servant of the Word of God, are you living this way? Are you living this way? This prayer leads us to Christ. Oh Lord, humble me. Humble us, Lord. Give me a daily turning back to you. Loosen my grip, Lord, on this present world. Lord, use this knowledge as an antidote for temptation. Lord, give me a sober view of life. Oh, Lord, soften the grief that I experience because of the loss of my loved one. And remind me that it won't be long and I'll see them again. Oh, Lord, remind me through all of this, the infinite value of the grace of God. How I need grace. Grace to cover all my sins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his grace to lead us to the Lord through this little verse. I ask you today as we close, are you prepared to die? Are you prepared to stand before the living God? You don't know what the rest of the day holds. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You might be here on vacation. That vacation may end very abruptly. Do you know the risen Christ as your only hope and Savior? Are you in Christ because you've called out to him for grace? Do you know with confidence the forgiveness of your sins, that you've been justified by grace, no matter how great your sin, that you've cried out to God, simply saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, that man went home justified. Are you loosening your grip on the present world and the things of this present world? Is your joy today in the Lord and in his glorious grace? Are you making the most of your days as though you were leaving on a long trip, so you're scurrying around getting things ready to go? Are you living selfishly or for the glory of God and serving others? Are you spending your days pointing others to the grace of God because you know their days are but grass too? Are your priorities in this world lining up with the brevity of life in this fallen world? This whole psalm, and particularly this verse, leads us to Christ, the one who is wisdom from God. Praise be to God for the glorious gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you today with thanksgiving for the grace of God to us in Jesus Christ. And we pray that today you would come and visit us. Turn us, Lord, back to the Lord Jesus. Quiet our souls with the knowledge that all is well with our soul because of the grace of God. But for those who are not, Lord, sure, who have not yet come to believe, would you turn them back to yourself? Give them a heartfelt desire to cry out for the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for your blessing on our offering today, that you would use these gifts and tithes and offerings to bring others to know the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ, to bring others to know the limited number of their days, so that they would cry out to the only Savior, the only name by which we must be saved. Bless these gifts. Use them for your glory here and abroad. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.